This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Holy Quran in a very famous verse of the Quran, which of course I'm sure will be quoted in many masajid today, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you people who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed to those before you in order that you may develop what is called a state of taqwa. So I forgot to greet you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, we will endeavor to translate the last khutbah made by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the last Friday of Sha'ban. Of course, today is also the last Friday of Sha'ban. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made this khutbah in order to prepare the Sahaba for the month of Ramadan. But before I go there, I first want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful rain, mashallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make it a mercy for us and not a test for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that the rain fall on the right places. Because sometimes, you know, it rains a lot in the wrong places. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it rain, inshallah, on the places that is required so that the crops may grow, not only here in South Africa, but all over the world. You know, you see on the television how rain can be a most devastating force of nature. It can destroy so much. And also when you see on the other side how nature, how the rain makes the crops grow, and how people depend on the rain for the crops that grow, and how man benefits from the rain. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a bit uncomfortable and a bit of a mission to come into the masjid and so forth. But that's part of the struggle. That's part of being who we are as Muslims, committed to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for again giving us another chance to reform ourselves, because the month of Ramadan is a month of reform. Again, we're given a chance. We're here physically present, mashallah, on the last day of Sha'ban. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that we'll be present tonight, inshallah, and for the rest of Ramadan, so that we have another chance, maybe a last chance, for us, inshallah, to be under the rida of Allah. Satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are all sinners, my dear brothers and sisters. I mean, we are, that's why we're here. And that's how we've been created. We've been created. And if it wasn't for the fault of our forefather Adam alayhi salam, mashallah, we would have all been in paradise. But I don't think that would have been as nice a struggle as it is down here on the earth, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much of temptation and tests our humanity and tests our faith. To the extent that when we succeed, we become very proud of ourselves. Not kibr, but a pride to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this small man, this insignificant creature compared to what we see in the universe, has made him to stand up to himself and to develop something which no other being has got. And that is the quality of character which overcomes everything in life. And therefore, Ramadan is a month for the development of khuluq, of character, of good manners, of strengthening of family ties, of feeding the poor and so forth. We'll hear, inshallah, when we listen to the hadith, to the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this last day of Sha'ban, how beautiful this month is. It's a month of beauty. It's a month of introspection. It's a month of goodness. It's a month of quietness. It's a month where we not only renew our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we renew our connection with ourselves, with our wives, with our children, our neighbors. Again, the cookies go, you know, you never see the neighbor throughout the year. You don't even know sometimes who it is, but at least this month you say to yourself, the neighbor across the road, I never see him, but at least, you know, this month I'm going to send him some cookies, you know. At least there's some connection. Even if it's not a physical connection, there's some connection. And of course, we look forward to Eid and we see the family and we meet everybody and Tawbah and so on. So it really is a blessed month. Subhanallah, it's a blessed month. And we ask ourselves the question, why wasn't this Ramadan given to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Makkah? Why did he have to wait for, let's see, 10, 12 years after revelation? Only in the second year of the Hijrah, during the second year, did Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala impose or obligate the fast upon the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, it would have been much easier in Makkah, because in Makkah there was little food, Sahaba was starving in any case. It would have been much easier for them to have adopted the practice of fasting. But yet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala didn't make it fard in Makkah. And so many other things were made fard in Makkah. Why? I think fasting would have strengthened the Sahaba in Makkah, made them stronger against the onslaught of the kuffar. Why not? Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tells us that fasting is not just about skipping meals. It's not just about going hungry. Because if it was about that, Allah would have made fasting fard in the first year. But it needed the tranquility and the peace of Medina in order for the full impact of Ramadan to be felt by the Sahaba. Because Ramadan is not about not eating. Ramadan is about spiritual development. It's about the soul. It's about the character. It's about the person. And that is the purpose of Ramadan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this hadith narrated by Salman Al-Farisi, about whom the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he is part of the Ahlul Bayt. He's part of my family. The Prophet made him part of his home, like his wives and his children. Subhanallah. Salman Al-Farisi reports, he says, خطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في آخر الجمعة من شعبان فقال أيها الناس. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on the minbar, Oh man, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses the whole of humanity, because after all, Islam came for the whole of humanity. أَيُّوَ النَّاسِ, O humanity, إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهْرَ اللَّهِ بِالْبَرَكَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Oh man, verily a month, you are standing on the threshold of a month in which Allah has placed barakah, in which Allah has placed rahmah, in which Allah has placed forgiveness. Barakah, rahmah, and forgiveness. Shahrun wa 'inda Allah min afdal ash-shuhur. A month which is the best month of all the months of the year. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us 12 months. This is the ninth month of the year, the best month. It is spring season for good deeds and virtue. Although it may be raining outside, but actually spring season. Muslims don't feel the cold in Ramallah. Spring season for goodness and virtue. It is the month in which we could become the best and rack up the most points by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our good deeds. Or it is a month in which we can fail miserably. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we, it may be a month for us that we will become better human beings and better Muslims, inshallah. Nabi standing on the minbar, and the Nabi is saying these words to the Sahaba. He said, the days of this month are the best days. The nights are the best nights. وَسَاعَاتُ أَفْضَلُ سَاعَاتُ The hour وَشَهْرٌ دُعِيتُمْ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, best days, the best month, the best time, best hours, the best minutes. It is the month du'itum fihi ila dhiyafati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites you to be his guest. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, Allah, creator of the universe, invites you to be his guest. My dear brothers, this is not just any Allah. I mean, I know you're used to hearing the word Allah, Allah, Allahu Akbar. But this is just that, I mean, actually the word Allah should make your hands here stand on end. Just to hear the word Allah. Just to utter the word Allah. How blessed we are as Muslims to have this word in our vocabulary, Allah. I mean, I was thinking the other day, how blessed we are as Muslims. If we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shahru Ramadan, Alladhi unzila fihil, Quran. Don't be shy to say Quran. Your Quran. If I say Quran, you say Quran. Say Allah, you say Allah. Don't be shy. This is the house of Allah. Yeah, you must feel good. Yeah, you must feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine this. The Quran. What is the Quran? The Quran is Kalamullah. What is Kalamullah? The words of Allah. Do you realize that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when Allah says to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Qul," Allah said, "Qul." These are the words of Allah. How blessed are we to be able to say on our human tongues the words which Allah Himself has said? Can you imagine? You are actually saying the words which Allah Himself has uttered to the angels, to Jibreel, to bring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is not deaf, dumb and blind. Allah spoke the how, but it was spoken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore when you read the Quran, always think, these are the words which Allah Himself spoke. How should we not be careful when we read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or write the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are guests of Allah. In the month of Ramadan, we are the guests of Allah. You know, guests, there's quite a few right over the host. When you are the guest of somebody, you are commanded by the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to honor your guest. Ikram al-Daif. One of the outstanding qualities of a Muslim is that he honors his guest. So which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honors us in the month of Ramadan. جعلتم فيه من أهل الكرامة. In this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made us of the people of honor. So Allah honors us. We are the guests of Allah. Like when we go for Hajj and Umrah, we become the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أنفاسكم فيه تسبيح. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you breathe in the month of Ramadan, every breath that you take, it is as if you are honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِي عِبَادَةً. Your sleep is an act of worship. And the dua that you make is mustajab. Remember what I said last week? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked dua. And many times he doesn't give it to you, he gives it to your father or your son or your children. Sometimes you ask Allah, Ya Allah, give me money. I need money. Allah says, no. I'm going to give you a child that's going to be rich, he's going to look after you. I'm not going to give it to you. Or you ask for help. Allah says, no. Not for you, I'll give out to your wife. So that she may look after you when you are ill. Or you want to become something great in life, you know, maybe you want to become some great scientist or whatever. Allah says, not for you. Maybe I'll give it to your brother. Or your friend. And you will also benefit from it. So many a times, when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every dua, remember, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may not come directly to us, but it may come in our inner circle, which will also benefit from. And remember, my dear brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan is a month of secrecy. What do I mean a month of secrecy? Why am I using the word secrecy? Because the month of Ramadan, you must do things, try and do things that nobody knows what that you've done it. Try and become as secretive as possible. I'm talking about things that I'm saying, for example, if you want maybe to make some extra salah, get up in the middle of the night without even your wife knowing that you're out of the bed. Just make 2 rakats to get back into bed. But that 2 rakats, you make sincerely for Allah. You're going to give sadaqah, give it to nobody knows. Maybe you give it to somebody and say, give this to so and so. So much so that you don't want anybody to know. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in the hadith, there are 7 people who will be in the shade of the throne of Allah Day of Qiyamah. One of them will be رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا. A man who remembers Allah خَالِيًا, alone. Maybe sitting in his car. Maybe his wife has gone shopping, he's alone at home. Maybe he's sitting at his job, maybe he's working overtime, there's nobody there. And he thinks of Allah, and he thinks of Allah's blessings upon him, and he cries. Maybe he doesn't cry, maybe just 2-3 tears come out of his eyes. Maybe not a lot, maybe. You know, man sa'il musisumani. He will be in the shade of the throne of Allah, Day of Qiyamah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Aynun la yamassuhum an-nar. Aynani la yamassuhum an-nar. Aynun bakat min khashyatillah. وَعَيْنٌ بَاتَ تَحْرُسُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, 2 eyes the fire of Jahannam will never touch. Because if the Jahannam won't touch your eye, it means your whole body is also free from Jahannam. First eye is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, عَيْنٌ بَكَت. The eye that cries out of the fear of the punishment of Allah. And Who say that he's free from that? Who say that he doesn't have to cry? All of us have to cry. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you only knew the Akhirah, you would cry more and smile less. And laugh less. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ بِنِيَّاتٍ صَادِقَةٍ وَقُلُوبٌ طَاهِرَةٍ أَنْ يُوَفِّقَكُمْ لِلصِّيَامِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in his khutbah, and I'm giving a translation of the last khutbah of the Nabi on the last Friday of Sha'aban, ask Allah your clean heart. And remember, I always speak about the clean heart. مَا وَسِعَنِي أَرْضِي وَلَا سَمَائِي وَلَكِنْ وَسِعَنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. There's hadith Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا وَسِعَنِي أَرْضِي. The earth cannot contain me. وَلَا سَمَائِي, nor can the universe contain me. وَلَكِنْ وَسِعَنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. But the heart of a true believer can contain me. Maybe you live another 1,000 years, you would not be able to make tafsir of this hadith Qudsi of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart is a very important part of our lives. It is the heart, in fact, that will appear in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah says, the day when your children and your wealth will be of no benefit to you. And we always think, no, those are the beneficial things. My children, my children, my children, my children. Everybody says, my children, oh, I must leave this for my children. Oh, I must leave that for my children. My money, my money. It's my money, my pension, my this, my policies, my house. Allah says, a day will come when your possessions and your children will be of zero benefit to you. The only benefit your child is of for you is when they make dua for you, that Allah must forgive you and give you Jannah. And if you did not teach your children how to make dua for you, that's also lost. So the first thing you should teach your child when he's small, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. اللهم اغفر أبي وأمي. That you teach your small child. Oh Allah, forgive my mother and my father. Small sin. اللهم اغفر أمي وأبي. Small sin. You teach him that, he will remember it for the rest of his life. And he will say for the rest. Because how is he going to ask if you don't teach him how to ask Allah to forgive you? You have to teach your child. So simple. It's the only benefit. Because Allah says so. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Your money and your wealth will be of no benefit to you. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ. Except he who comes to Allah with a sincere heart. Clean heart. You had a clear relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, as I said, people say, you know, I'm going to leave, and I repeat what I say because people say, I'm leaving 5 million for my children. I'm leaving them each one a house. I'm leaving them this and that and that and that. And you come in front of Allah the day of Qiyamah, and Allah says, Ya, oh my servant, what did you do in the dunya? You say, Ya Allah, I worked so hard, Ya Allah. I left for my children. They don't have to ask anybody for nothing. I left them 10 million rand. I left them my policies, mashallah. I left them everything. And I will say, Allah will say to you, Ya Abdi, oh my servant. No. Hold it. All those things you left behind is not yours, it's mine. I gave it to you. How can you come here and claim it is yours? When you came into the dunya naked, now you come and stand in front of me and say you left. No. All the things you left for them, I left for them. That's why I have given you the laws of inheritance and not you. Because it belongs to me. It belongs to me, therefore I've written the laws of inheritance in my Quran. People say, yes, why does a woman get 1/8? Why does a man get double? It's not your business. Why isn't it your business? Because the money is not yours. Many people say, my wife, she works out. 1/8, no. I'm going to give her this house. I'm going to do, oh, my daughter is better to me than my son. My son is a drug addict, or my son ran away from me. He had nothing to my poor daughter worked with me in the business. He said, I'm going to, la hawla wa la quwwata illa. Not your money. Not yours. From where you got it from? You brought it from your mother's womb? Before you, no. You found it here. You found, when you came here, you found it here on Allah's earth that Allah created for you. So when Allah says, these are the divisions, you can't say it's unfair and unjust. How can you say that? When it's not your money. It's like you, for example, have 10 beggars outside. So you look in your pocket and you see, well, let me see now. I've got a 10 cents, a 20 cents, a 50 cents, a rand, 5 rand. Now you stand in front of the beggars and you say, well, let's offer on Chihima for 5 rand. Maybe she's got small children, give her the 5. That woman can't say to you, but Buddha, if you like to be around to gain it. No, why not? Because it's your money. You can decide who you want to give it to. Nobody can tell you how to give it and how much to give. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's my wealth, my money I gave to you. So I decide how I want to distribute it when you're not there anymore. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ بِنِيَّاتٍ صَادِقَةٍ وَقُلُوبٍ طَاهِرَةٍ أَنْ يُوَفِّقَكُمْ. We ask Allah with clean hearts that He should help us and assist us to fulfill the obligation of fasting. And as I said, get out of your mind that fasting is staying away from food and water. The nuns and the monks also fast. The Christians also fast. The Jews also fast. This is a program, a complete program of spiritual edification in the month of Ramadan. Allah says, وَتِلَاوَتْ كِتَابِي فَإِنَّ الشَّقِي. For the most miserable person, says the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who doesn't get Allah's forgiveness in the month of Ramadan. He's the most miserable person. Because all you have to say is, Allah maghfir li, Allah maghfir li, oh Allah forgive me. If you can't even say that, you're the most miserable person. And you don't deserve the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاذْكُرُوا بِجُوعِكُمْ وَعَتَشِكُمْ فِيهِ جُوعِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And remember, when you feel a little bit of hunger and a little bit of thirst, think about the hunger and thirst of the day of Qiyamah. وَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَىٰ How much you spend? As I say again, a month of secrecy. How do you spend your wealth on the poor? You give with your right hand so that your left hand doesn't know. Would you give first? Would you give to first? Who do you think you give to first? Who's your family? Who's your closest family? Your wife? Any other people? Unless, of course, they're overspoilt. Because, you know, wives and children sometimes, oh, I said to my wife the other day, I said, you know, I want to buy something for my grandchildren, but I don't know what to buy. When you open the covers, the toys fall out from the top, from the bottom, from the sides, under the table, in the cup, everywhere. If you open the covers, the sweets fall on top of you. You know, those days where the grandfather comes with a packet of sweets and the children say, oh, ma, you know, pa brought us sweets. Those days are gone. So if you already spoiled your wife and your children, don't give to them. Sorry, you passed them. But the important thing about giving is not so much the giving. It's the giving in secret. مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعَلَمْ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُ Give so that you're right. And give first to your family. Your brothers. Your sisters. And don't say, oh, my mother doesn't need anything. She gets a pension. She lives in a nice house. What does she need? My father doesn't need. What does he need? No, 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 no. Does Allah ask you, how much do you need today? Does Allah ask you, oh, my servant, shame. I know you're a rich man, but how much you need? You need more today. Allah gives you. Don't say like many children say, my, no. Your first port of call is your mother and your father. Your first port of call is shower them, not only with your love, but with your wealth also. Give them more than what they must give base per second. Say, make a 15 days run, but I don't need, I only need 1,000 rand. Say, mommy, you keep the 10,000 rand, the 9,000 rand, you give a sadaqah. So that Allah may forgive your sins, so that I may meet you in Jannah, inshallah. So you give your mother and your father their Jannah on the paradise they get it. You are the cause of it. Don't let tears come out of your parents' eyes because they look at you and they say, Ek het so reken, my niks oor vir my nie. How many parents have I heard? Then I asked the son, but why? He says, well, my mother, what does she need? I said, that's not you. How can you even utter those words? Did your mother ever say when you were a baby, does he need milk? I'm not going to feed him now. Let him cry for 5 hours. He doesn't need milk. He's already fat. The clinic said he's already overweight. I'm going to starve him for a few days so he can lose some weight. We forget what our parents have done for us. So when Nabi Sassan talks about giving, we think about, oh, I must go to that old age home. Oh, I must go into Khayelitsha. The Khayelitsha is right here. Yeah, your Khayelitsha, you must start here. Yeah, where? Your parents. Yeah. Happiness begins at home. وَارْحَمُوا زِغَارَكُمْ وَصِلُوا أَرْحَمَكُمْ And show mercy to young people. Show mercy to young people. Overlook the things that young people do that you're not happy with. Speak kindly to young people, as you will speak kindly to old people. And protect your tongue in the month of Ramadan. Simple things, you know. It requires strength of character. Protect the tongue. وَغُضُّوا عَمَّا لَا وَحِلُّ النَّظْرِ Protect the eye. مَنْ مَلَى عَيْنَهُ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ مَلَى اللَّهُ عَيْنَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ النَّارِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person who fills his eyes with haram, Allah will fill his eyes at the day of Qiyamah with the fire of Jannah. So Ramadan is a training ground. We all human beings. I mean, who doesn't look at a beautiful woman when he sees? Who doesn't look? Only he who is angelic. That's why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, lower your gaze. But in Ramadan, we must be extra. Extra. So we practice in Ramadan. We train ourselves in Ramadan. Tubu ila Allahi min dunubikum warfa'u ilayhi aydikum. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ask Allah for tawbah. Make tawbah in the month of Ramadan. This is another beautiful blessing, gift of Allah. That the Muslim has the great blessing of committing sin. That's not a blessing, sorry, Maaf. Not that part, next part. And then asking Allah directly to forgive him. Because remember, if you protect your sins and cover your sins in the dunya yourself, Allah will cover it on the day of Qiyam. Don't think you're brave to go to someone and say, you know what I did last night, you know I did this, I feel so bad. Don't do that. You must never do, don't share it with anybody. That secret between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry by Allah's door. Don't even tell your wife and don't tell anybody. Just go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah. And this is the month of tawbah. This is the month of seeking forgiveness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah doesn't get tired of listening to you. They say, yeah, tawbah, yes, no, that doesn't matter. You continuously knock at Allah's door because it reminds you not to do it again and again. You will come to a point where you'll say, yes, it's a scam. Ik lang nu scam. Ik maak tawbah na doen ik en maak tawbah. I come to a point where, but never stop, never say, ik is nog niet zo gemaakt en zo gelastaan. You know, I've just got this bad habit. And that. No. There's no such thing. Inna Allah la yughayru ma biqawmin hatta yughayru ma bi anfusihim. Allah will only change your condition if you change it yourself. And this is the training on the month of Ramadan. Allah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ayyuhan nas, man fatara minkum sa'iman mu'minan fi hadha shahr, the person who feeds a believing mu'min, a good mu'min, good person, kana lahu bidhalik 'inda Allah atqu nasama ma baghfira lima mada min dhunubihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he had set free a person, a slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his previous sins. Faqila ya Rasulullah. So it was said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, laysa kulna yaqdiru ala dhalik. All of us can't do that, can't feed other people. Faqal, ittaqun nar walau bi shiqqi tamrati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then escape the fire of Jahannam by giving half a date. Ittaqunar walobi shurbatimain. And fear the Jahannam and set yourself free from the Jahannam even with giving somebody a drink of water. Now I always wonder this hadith and I always think, you know, we sit Maghrib time in the masjid and all the food is in front of us. And I look at the food and I say to myself, we will never be able to eat all this food up in the 10 minutes or 5 minutes that we have. There's so much food. So does that hadith apply also there? To when I break the date and give it to my brother next to me, he's got 5,000 dates in front of him. Does it apply there also? It can't apply there. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you all your sins if you're feeding somebody who's got 500 dates in front of you? You have to go somewhere and find some people. Go to some people where you know they don't have. You can't say, well, I'm sending a box of dates every night to the masjid, so mashallah. Come to the masjid and see how many of those dates they'll eat. Maybe it's all your dates. You don't know. You have to make the effort to find people. that need your sadaqah. Ayyuhan nas, man hasana minkum fihi fi hadha ash-shahr khuluqa kana lahu jawazan 'an as-sirat yawma tazillu fihi al-aqdam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and the person who rectifies his character, you know, and Muslims have this, I always, when I travel the world and I see how other Muslims live, then I sometimes feel shy when I'm amongst my own people. In the lack of finesse, the lack of character which we display. We would walk out of the masjid, we'll stand here and our friend is standing maybe 20 meters away. Hey! Who's it? This is not behavior of a Muslim. Salam! Muslims don't behave like this. Well, the sheikh is standing after the imam. Somebody standing and says, the sheikh is standing and says, yo, sheikh, come in. Not, he said, don't say to the sheikh, he says to his friend. In other words, he said, for the sheikh, amal sheikh, then I'm going to say, some. We don't have etiquette. We display very bad manners in public. I don't mind what you do inside your house. That's not my business. But at least when Muslims are in public, they should try and behave a little bit better. And dress a little bit better in public. You know, when you go to Kenilworth Center, at least dress so when people look at you, mashallah, you know, they say, oh, that is a Muslim, mashallah, he's fasting. I like a foul. And I like the hem as a strike. The skin as a polish. What kind of image are we giving to the world? I always, when I walk in the supermarket, I always look at the Muslims and I look at the non-Muslims. You can see the difference, you know. Muslims don't care anymore. They don't seem to care. The women also, they don't care. About their weight, they don't care. Because no telling them is swat what ladra. So they don't care. We become a very careless community as if we've got nothing to live for. We're not a outstanding people will say, mashallah, look, there goes a Muslim. Look at that man, mashallah. Look how beautiful he's got. A nice suit on with a tie and a three piece. He looks like a good Muslim. He shines like a good Muslim. Because that is ultimately how the Sahaba spread Islam. Because when they got to China, the Chinese said, Nioma. Nioma is Mandarin for how are you? Did the Sahaba know Nioma? They didn't know what Nioma means. So how did they convert the Chinese that we have 100 million Muslim Chinese in China today? Because the Chinese looked at them and what they saw, they loved. What they saw, they liked. And when they liked what they saw, they adopted the religion of the people that they saw. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, so you develop your character. And I must say, the other day again, I was walking in the supermarket and I've got this thing about greeting Muslims. You know? So I'm walking and you see the man is a Muslim. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact. Say, Assalamu alaikum. You won't find this in other parts of the Muslim world. Muslims are attracted to each other. They respond to one another. And this is the kind of love and brotherhood that Islam speaks about. And really we've lost it. Somewhere along the line we've lost this good manners and good character. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you develop this in the month of Ramadan, don't think the world belongs to you when you walk in the street. It doesn't belong to you. You don't want to look right and you don't want to look left. You just look straight. See, man, can you sit down? Sorry, man, can you sit? Meanwhile, you're not interested in the world around you. You're interested in connecting and greeting other Muslims. No, no.
You're just concerned about yours. This is me and this is I, and I want to get in here as quickly and get out as quickly as I possibly can. So when do we develop this ukhuwah, this brotherhood, if we don't do that? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, so you develop this brotherhood, what is the reward for you in the month of Ramadan? Allah will make his hisab easy for him. So okay, so Ramadan, Jab is a Muslim, he works for you. You know, give him an hour off before the time, or don't give him so much work to do in the month of Ramadan. You know, don't shout at your workers so much in the month of Ramadan. Try and give a bit of ease in the month of Ramadan. Allah will make it easy for you on the day of Qiyamah. And remember, your rizq has already been written. So if that guy doesn't work the whole day, doesn't affect your rizq. How can it affect your rizq? How can one man not working for affect your rizq when Allah has already written it for you? The day when you, the day when you're still in Jannah, you were in the bed. So be merciful and kind to your workers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his anger from you. وَمَنْ أَكْرَمَ فِي يَتِيمًا, and a person who is kind to an orphan. Quran speaks a lot about the orphan. Because that was the status of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be kind to you the day that he meets you. And the person who treats his family well. You know, sometimes, talk about family. It's a very touchy subject, you know. Family. And we always say, you know, you were... It's a package. Family is a package, you know. It comes without your choice. Brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunties. And most of the time, there's something in the family. Always amongst the closest members of the family. Sometimes for no reason at all. People are just like that. You can't figure out why the person is like that with you. Your brother, you can't figure out why. Or your sister, you just can't figure it, you know. You can't figure it out where and how, you know. You try, but you can't. It's just like that. It's just like that. You mark my words sometimes. It's just like that. People have the likes and people have the dislikes. But the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says here, treat them well. Treat them well. If you know your brother loves a buck, give him a buck. Don't deny it. Even though he doesn't like you. Or your sister. Or your uncle. Or your auntie. You may not want to visit them every day. You mean, but it's Ramadan. You go to their house to say, mashallah, you know. Yeah, something for Ramadan. You know, put something in the envelope. Something for Ramadan, my brother or my sister. They may not need it, but this is just your way of fulfilling the request of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his request from the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who mistreats his relatives, Allah will mistreat him the day of Qiyamah. وَمَا أَدَّى فِي فَرْضًا, the person who does his fard on the day of, on, during the month of Ramadan, it is as if he had fulfilled 70 farz. And the person who reads one verse of the Quran, it is as if he had read the whole Quran in other times outside of Ramadan. Can you imagine? You read one verse in the month of Ramadan, مَنْ تَلَى فِي آيَةٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَنْ خَتَمَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي غَيْرِهِ فِي الشُّهُورِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you read one ayah of the Quran in Ramadan, that one ayah is equivalent to having completed the reading of the Quran outside of Ramadan. So if there are 6,600 etc. verses in the Quran and you read the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan, it is as if you have completed the Quran more than 6,000 times in the month of Ramadan. Spring season. It's a season of sale. Allah is making massive sale in the month of Ramadan. 700 for the price of one. يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ. Allah says, he increases to who he wills. As much as he wants to give. The doors of Jannah are open in the month of Ramadan. What does it mean, the doors of Jannah open? How does the doors of Jannah affect us in the dunya? Allah opens and closes it. So it doesn't mean the physical birth of Jannah. It means the expectation of Jannah is greater in the month of Ramadan for itself into Jannah. But if it does, and it is that month in which the Jahannam is closed. The whole month of Ramadan. What does it mean? Difficult. A Muslim must do really terrible things in the month of Ramadan for him not to be able to go to Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given ibadat. I've given you a synopsis of the khutbah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Sha'ban. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each ibadah a purpose. Salah wasta'inu bi sabri wa salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you need patience, if you need Allah's help, make salah. Zakah, khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiru. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiru biha. Take from their wealth zakah, which will purify them. So zakah is a means of purification. Hajj liyashhadu manafi'a lahum. Allah says, go for Hajj. So you see the benefits of Allah. You see the greatness of Allah. You see the brotherhood Allah has given to you. See the wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the world. And what about Ramadan? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah says the purpose of Ramadan is to develop taqwa. Inshallah, our next week's lecture will be what is taqwa? And is taqwa only for the big good Muslims? Or can every Muslim share in taqwa? And what is taqwa? And we know that iman is faith. Ihsan is goodness. But what is taqwa? So next week, inshallah, we will talk about Ramadan and taqwa. Just a few announcements. Now, first announcement, of course, always about money. Allah's money. Two things you must do in the month of Ramadan. First, you must take out your zakah in the month of Ramadan. Now, I didn't say pay your zakah in the month of Ramadan. Did I say that? No. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Listen, listen, listen. I'm saying to you, take out your zakah. In other words, what am I saying? Let's assume you have 10,000 rand and you must give zakah. Which is how much on 10,000 rand? Are we? 250 rand. What you do is, tomorrow's Ramadan, you go to the bank, you take out 250 rand, you take it out, you put it away somewhere. That's the first step in giving zakah. So now you've made the intention and you've also taken out. You have fulfilled half of the fard. Now you tell your wife and you tell her, there's my zakah. So if I die tomorrow, I've taken it out. Now you decide what you're going to do with it. And I always say, divide your zakah. This is, please, this is not fard. This is not from the Prophet. This is from me. So you say, well, faik ek grini mioni, but anyway, ex-alista, what have you got to say? Part of your zakah. Say you have to give 250 rand zakah. Take 50 rand or 100 rand or 25 rand. Keep it. Because the intention is you've already taken out you. So you have already intended to give zakah. It's not to say that you're keeping it to yourself. Sometimes people come to you during the year. Maybe somebody comes knock on your door. You see it's a Muslim. You know, many times you say, my kitty changed. Yes, man again. Say, sorry man, pal man again. No, keep. Make it into coins. Keep it in your house. And you know you can't use that for anything except give it to somebody who needs it. So you can't give it to your grandchildren when they come to us. No. So that you keep in your house. The rest you give out in the month of Ramadan as much as you can. Give it to the zakah fund or to whatever. Your family, of course, comes first. You can give to your brothers who are poor, your sisters who are poor. You can't give to your parents, of course, zakah. You can't give to your parents, zakah. Remember, you can't give to your children, zakah, because you have to support those two things. First is zakah. That's just my little bit of advice. If you throw it down a drain, no problem. If you want to take your zakah and give it all away, barakallahu fiqh, that's your decision.
Second is fitrah. Fitrah, of course, is again part of the social responsibility component of Ramadan. You know, every corporate has got a social responsibility program. Islam is also corporate Islam. So corporate Islam also has a social responsibility program, which is called fitrah. And remember, you can give your fitrah from the first of Ramadan. And fitrah, this is how much? 280 rand per person. How much? 280 rand per person. And you see, I'm not smiling. And I'm not laughing. And I'm absolutely serious. Why? Because this is Chromebook. If I had spoken this lecture in Khayelitsha in a mosque with a zinc roof, I would have said 28 rand. But because I'm speaking to you, I say to you, how can you go to Allah Day of Qiyamah and say, I only gave 28 rand? Allah's going to say, come here. You only gave 28 rand. Is that what you thought of me? Is that what you thought of your social responsibility? Is that what you thought of? You think that 28 rand is going to take your fast and pull it right up to me? No, that fell down. Sorry, man, I didn't see it. Allah said to you, sorry man, I'm sorry man, with 28 rand you can't travel to the seven heavens. I mean, even a plane ticket to Makkah doesn't cost 28 bucks. Because that is what it does. That fitrah takes it against the force of gravity. It takes it to Allah. It needs a lot of jet fuel to do that. 28 rand won't make it. It won't even make it up the Evil Mountain. But yes, for the poor man, it will take his in 1 second to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to people like us, no. You have 28 rand is the absolute minimum. That's for the person who, you know, he begs on the street. That's what he gives when he 28 rand, he begs 128 rand and says, yeah, well, I'll give 28 rand. Can only give 28 rand. 2.5% of zakah, remember that's the minimum. If you can afford to give more for the sake of Allah. And give it in the month of Ramadan because you get 700 times more reward in the month of Ramadan. And finally, inshallah, on every Sunday in the month of Ramadan, I will be delivering a short nasiha, short talk after dhuhr every Sunday here, inshallah. And everybody, mashallah, is invited, you and your children, your wives. And, because there's no lunch. So the wife also got no excuse. But because you leave your wife at home, you see. The wife is not the problem. I'm the problem. I walk out of the house at 12:45. Bye, darling. Salam. Hadas to ya. No, but what about her? Why is she not? Why have you not even asked her one day? But sweetheart, when are you going with me? You 40 years been married, you've never been in a masjid. At least this year the sheikh said, no, you must come. You got no more children. Children are all big. Why are you sitting at home watching TV? I'm not saying come here. I'm saying there's so many lectures going on all over Cape Town. Find a spot where you're comfortable and take your wife with you. Don't say, oh, women are not allowed in the masjid. But your wife can go to Kenowa Center and go shopping. That's not a problem. She can go for holidays to Mauritius with you. That's not a problem. But suddenly when she has to come to the masjid to listen to a lecture or to come for the... No, women are not allowed in the masjid. Sorry, man. No, not allowed. Not allowed in the masjid. La hawla wa la. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, in month of Ramadan, this month of Ramadan, we bring about some few changes in our lives, inshallah. Good, solid changes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the building of our own character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah keep us healthy in the month of Ramadan, because I think that's probably the most important part, you know, it's the health. Because sometimes we have the, what do you call it? Say the body is, the spirit. Spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know we've all got strong spirits. May Allah give, inshallah, we have strong bodies to fulfill obligations in the month of Ramadan. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.